I invite you to turn, if you would, please, to the book of Ephesians in the sixth chapter, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, we'll read verse 17 through verse 20, but my text will be verse 19 and verse 20. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17 says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." But that, we want to stop right there. Got too excited and kept on reading. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day and the privilege of being in your house. I ask that you bless your word as it goes forth. Just cause us to be drawn to you, meet every need of every heart. We pray for the lost that they might be saved and the saved might be strengthened. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. There used to be a commercial which said, "When E.F. Hutton talks, people listen." The idea, of course, is that what their financial advisors had to say was extremely important and very helpful, such that people were going to take their advice. They wish to communicate, and investors are willing to pay for such communication. Isn't it so that when we speak, we want others to listen? We want to be heard. We have something to say, so we say it. Therefore, listen up. Never more is this true than when it comes to the truths of the Scripture, especially in regard to the gospel. So when we look into the Bible, we find exhortation given to the churches and, of course, to the individual members to be a witness for Jesus Christ. The Great Commission commands us that we should teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them all things. Mark simplifies the command by simply stating, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Jesus reinforces this mission just prior to His ascension when He said, "And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." It then goes without saying all Christians should have a vested interest in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. We ought to spread the word throughout the world via missions and missionaries, but also up and down the streets of our own town. The church should be evangelistic, but the membership makes up the church, so each of us should endeavor to share the good news. But the task of preaching, teaching, witnessing, and evangelizing is not easy. Unfortunately, we don't have to go it alone. In Matthew, Jesus made reference to the authority which they received. In Acts, they would receive the power of the Holy Spirit. As a result, the ambassadors for Christ, as Paul calls us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20, the ambassadors of Christ have the right to speak and the ability to do so. That being said, we should not think that we can be faithful in our witness, in our own strength. But we must go in the name of Christ and in the power of God. Necessity is laid upon us if we do not proclaim. But as we share, as we declare, as we witness, we must rely upon the Lord. Let us seek Him as we attempt to speak for Him. Let us learn from the Apostle Paul, not only that we ought to pray, but that we should pray one for another, so that we would be the kind of testimony and mouthpiece that God would have us to be. That is what we find in our text. My objective is for us to discern the passage and find application such that we would see the importance of prayer in our witnessing, and that we would then pray for others, as these verses teach us. So I want to speak to you a message which I have entitled, "Prayer to Declare." Prayer to declare. That's what we find in the passage. Now keep in mind as we read these verses that Paul is addressing the Ephesian church. And in the midst of his exhortation and instruction of being a good soldier for Jesus Christ, that is being fitly prepared, and you can read verse 13 down through verse 17 about taking on the whole armor and to stand. Well, in the midst of all that, he tells us that and encourages them that they need to pray. Verse 18 in our reading, once again, praying always. After you have the armor, after you're ready and willing to stand, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Prayer is essential to the armor, isn't it? And to the service of the Lord Jesus Christ and His army, but it goes further than that. And so in verse 19, he also makes request for prayer for himself. And that's where we enjoin our text. Verse 19, prayer to declare. Paul says, pray. Now notice verse 19, the first part of the verse, the specific person. Specific person. He says, and for me. As we just noticed in verse 18, he told them to pray one for another, to pray for all saints. But then he says, and for me. Now I submit unto you, my dear friend, that we should pray for ourselves. You know, some people won't do that. They pray for everybody else. They never offer any prayers in their behalf. They don't offer before God, God, would you please do this or bless this or protect here or protect there. I think you ought to pray for yourself. There's nothing wrong with offering up prayer and pouring your heart before God. We're told in the book of Hebrews that we can come boldly to the throne of grace to find grace to help in a time of need. So there's nothing wrong with praying for yourself. But then I also submit unto you that we find in this passage it's perfectly acceptable to request prayer. What I find here is the Apostle Paul, as he writes this epistle to them, says, pray for one another, but pray also for me. So it's okay for me to say, hey, would you please pray for me? It's okay for you to ask someone else to pray for you. And so I find the specific person that's being mentioned in this passage is that Paul directs it back to himself. And he says, as you pray for everyone, please pray for me. And so I learn from this and just glean very quickly. I recognize that even great Christians are in need of prayer. We're talking about the Apostle Paul, seasoned, long-standing, great Christian faith and testimony. And he says, pray for me. Pray for me. You know, stalwarts in the faith can be found to waver. The Apostle Paul's in prison, and he's in bonds, we see in the passage there. Would it be likely to waver a little bit under persecution? I think it would be easy to do so, and Paul says, pray for me. And I would remind you that specific requests are better than generalized ones. It's better for me if I pray for you individually than for me to just say, Lord, bless our church. Now, it's okay for a generalized prayer and to ask for God to bless our church, but it's better served if I name you by name before God. And so specific prayer or specific requests are better than generalized ones. And so we see the beginning of the verse as we think about prayer to declare the specific person. Next, look into the passage and we find the special purpose. Verse 19, the first part of the verse, he says, and for me. So what's the purpose? That utterance may be given unto me. So Paul says, as you pray for everybody, pray for me. Why? So that I might have utterance given to me. And so we find here that the specific person requests prayer for a special purpose. Name the need, my friend. Again, it's better to be specific than it is to be general. There's nothing wrong with generalized prayers. Lord, bless their health. Bless their finances. But if you know specific needs and specific requests, you should ask them. Lord, be with this one as we pray for that baby. Pray that his lungs might be healed. Pray that the mother might have the infection taken away. We pray for this person with their cancer that they might be taken away, might be healed. Specific. Not just that they might be generally blessed. And so Paul mentions here, hey, pray for me. And the reason I want you to pray is that the utterance may be given unto me. And so Paul requested that he might be able to speak. The word utterance in the text means a word. It is a thing uttered. It is to talk or to speak. It is the word logos in the original language. And so Paul says, pray for me that words may be given unto me, utterance. Now consider something about the Apostle Paul. This guy's been speaking for a long time, hasn't he? I mean, is he just a neophyte into the ministry? Is he just starting out? Or has he been preaching for years? He's been witnessing for years, for decades. And yet he asks, pray for me that I might have the word or the utterance that it might be given unto me. And so what I find is he still needs God's strength to continue speaking. Isn't that true for every one of us? And so he says, pray for me that I might have utterance. He needs strength. I also would submit that the aspect here might be include that he needs God to open up doors to speak. Sometimes we can close ourselves in and we need doors to be opened up. We witness to everybody that we're associated with. And so we need new doors. We need new avenues. And Paul's in prison and pray for me that I might have the word to speak. Part of that is that he might have opportunity. And I say that unto you because there's a parallel passage. If you should know that Ephesians and Colossians are very similar in their writings. A lot between them are almost identical. And in the parallel thought that's found in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 3, here's what Paul says. He says, with all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. So you find that's part of it. Pray for me. Pray for me that I might have the word that God would open up the door of utterance. And then the word utterance is the same word that we found in the book of Ephesians. He uses the same word. The word open means to open. That's what the word means. And so doors may be closing and he wants new doors to open up. Potential listeners may be hardening their hearts. They're not as receptive as they used to be. God, please give me the words and the opportunity. And I think it may also be implied that he needs strength to continue in the face of persecution. Because he says it not only in Colossians, but he says it within our text in the book of Ephesians. He says, for which also I am in bonds. And so it would be very easy to zip the lip when you're imprisoned, you know. But he says, I want to be able to speak. Even though I'm in bonds, I want to speak as God would have me to speak. God, open up the door of utterance that I might speak. But also I think that he's requesting that he might have the right words to say. Paul is very educated. Paul was very skilled. He's very experienced. He's preached for a long time and argued and discussed and gave apologetics time and time again. But yet he's still asking God to give him the right words to say. Have you ever done that? Have you ever had an opportunity to witness? And before you go into that encounter, you say, God, give me what I need to say. Open up my mouth. Give me the words that they need to hear. That, I believe, is the Apostle Paul's request as he says, you pray for everyone, pray for me. There's a special purpose. I need to have the utterance that is given unto me. And so he said here in the record over in Colossians, open up my mouth that I might be able to speak. And that word speak is not the same word for utterance, but it is to speak. It is to talk with, to discourse. Even it can be interpreted as to preach or to give an address. And so he wants to be able to continue to minister. Pray for me. But let me also submit unto you, I think there might be the idea that he wants to speak to them clearly. Clearly. Turn if you would, and I say this because of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Turn if you would back there. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now the Apostle Paul had such great experience, he probably didn't falter too much in this area, but everyone who speaks always falters in discourse. None of us are perfect in our expression, no matter how experienced we may become. And I submit that Paul may in this prayer say, God, not only give me the words to say, but help me to say it clearly. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and in verse 12, we read a verse where he says, seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. Now the word plainness is used a Greek term here, which we're going to note in just a moment, but it really means boldly or freely. But within this context, if you follow up here, he says, not as Moses, which put the veil on his face, and they were blinded and all that. He didn't want it to be veiled. He wanted it to be very clear. So that really the King James translation here about we use great plainness of speech is an excellent consideration. Even though the word means freely or boldly, that wants to be very clear. We use great plainness of speech. Should we be plain as we testify, as we speak for the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, absolutely. It doesn't help if we don't understand. Last February, my wife sang with the Memphis Masterworks Chorale, and they sang Mozart's Te Deum and Mass in C minor. And Chad and Ryan and myself went down to watch this orchestra sing, and the whole thing was in Latin. Do you know how much I got out of it? Zero. But we did enjoy watching Laura sing. But they sang in Latin. Latin. I didn't know Latin. My boys don't know Latin. The vast majority of individuals in that congregation did not know Latin. But they sang the whole thing in Latin. What an exciting time. But it didn't help us any. And you want to speak clearly. I would have been better served if they would have translated that into English and sang it. Shouldn't we speak clearly? But sometimes it's not so easy. Like an old preacher I used to sit under, he said I got my tongue wrapped around my eye teeth and couldn't see what I was saying. And I do that on occasion. Just the other night, Wednesday night, I was speaking about John the Baptist martyrdom, and my wife after the service pointed out, she says, "Do you know that you said John the Head's Baptist?" And I said, "What?" She said, "Yeah, you said John the Head's Baptist. Twice." And I said, "Really?" She said, "Didn't you hear everybody snickering?" I said, "No, I didn't hear that. I mean, I saw the snickering, but I just figured they were having fun." But I actually said John the Head's Baptist instead of John the Baptist Head. She said, "Well, at least you corrected on the third time. If you would have said it the third time, they would have broke up for sure." Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Can we misspeak? Yeah, sure. Use the wrong term at the wrong time sometimes. Get them out of order? Absolutely. But you know what I think Paul is praying? And he says, "Give me a door, open door, and give me utterance that I may speak." Part of that is not only to have the words, but also to speak them clearly. Paul expressed to the church of Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, where I've invited you to turn, and he's dealing with the problem of their speaking in tongues and their misuse of it. But we join the passage here in verse 7. He just gives them a principle. And he says, "Even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds. How shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except you utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air." And so it would do me no good to stand up here and speak in a foreign language if you did not know the foreign language, or if the language was not interpreted. It would do you no good. It's no good for a pastor to stand up and use great big 50-cent theological terms that nobody knows. He might have a message and it might be excellent, but the person in the pew says, "I don't know what transubstantiation is and consubstantiation. I don't know what all these things are." Well, if you don't know what they are, you're not benefited, are you? And so we want to make sure we speak the message. And so you go back to our passage. I consider in our text that the Apostle Paul asked prayer for a specific person for a special purpose. And notice the sure power there in verse 19, the last part of the verse. To make known the mystery, or he says, that I may open my mouth boldly. Open my mouth boldly. He restates that in the latter part of verse 20, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Again, open his mouth. That word means to open. His mouth is the mouth. And he wants to speak boldly. I mentioned the word plainness was this word. It is here in the text. Boldly. The word means freedom in speaking. Boldness of speech. This is used as an adverb, and so it is interpreted or translated as freely or boldly. And so he says that I may speak boldly there in verse 20. That I may open my mouth boldly, verse 19. So what he wants to do is pray for me that I might have the right words and I might have the power to speak it. You have to keep in mind, this is going to be, in this situation, he's going to speak out in the face of opposition. You know what I found? I found, especially when you watch the political arena, these people can get up and the whole house is full of people that agree exactly. I mean, they're all Democrat or they're all Republican or they're all independents or they're all whatever. And they can get up there and that guy can say anything he wants and boy, the house is just behind him. You know why? Because they're all of the same case. Now you go stand in an opposite camp, it's not so simple. And what Paul is here, he's witnessing. I mean, it's easy to preach to the choir and it's easy to preach to the church. But then you get out there in the face of opposition, it's not the easiest thing in the world. And Paul says that I may open my mouth boldly because I have to speak in the face of opposition. He has to speak knowing the risk of persecution. He's already in bonds. He's already in chains. And I'll tell you, my dear friend, we might as well keep that in mind as this society continues to go downward. If it keeps its trends going, we're going to have to be able, and by God's grace, to speak freely, to speak boldly in the face of opposition and in the risk of persecution. Because there will come a day, if God does not change our society, there will come a day when we stand for Jesus Christ, we will be taken off the jail, or we will be beaten, or we'll be physically abused. I see that coming. It's happening around the world already in many other places. And Paul says that I might have sure power. He wants the word, but he wants the power. He wants to speak boldly. He wants to speak with power and authority. I was made to think of Jesus. Back in the book of Mark chapter 1 verse 22, it says, "And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes." In John chapter 7, the Pharisees had sent some people to take Jesus. And in verse 46, the officers answered, "Never a man spake like this man." That's the kind of testimony we want to be. That's the kind that we want to have. We want to be able to speak boldly with power and with authority. In that similar passage over there in the book of Colossians, in chapter 4, we'd already read verse 3, but verse 4 says, "That I may make it manifest as I ought to speak." Now he was making reference to the mystery of Christ. I read that to you, and he says, "I want to make it manifest as I ought to make it manifest, as I ought to speak." Now that word to make manifest there in the original language means to bring to light. It is to set in a clear light. It is to manifest or display. And so if you worked in a grocery store or a shoe store and you had a display window out there or a dress shop or something and you put that out on display, that's the word to make manifest. And so he says, pray for me that I may make manifest the mystery of Christ. That's what he records in the book of Colossians. Paul's interested in power and authority as he speaks. And so when he wrote to the Corinthians, listen if you will, he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and in verse 1, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." He didn't come in his own power. He says, but in verse 4, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of spirit and of power." Paul is interested in having his utterance given unto him, but the sure power that he might be able to open his mouth boldly. And so he desires to speak with freedom and liberty. That's his desire. Now you look back into the passage there, and you'll find at the last part of verse 19, there's a significant plea. "Pray for me, my friends, that I might have the words to speak. And I might have the power and the ability to speak them." And what is it he's going to say? To make known the mystery of the gospel. That's what he wants to do. Paul wants the words and the power to preach, to make known. Now the words here in the text, "make known," means to make known or to reveal or to declare. You say, well, that's the same thing as manifest. No, it isn't, because it's a different Greek word that Paul used over in Colossians. Here in this text, he uses the word "make known," which comes from the Greek root word "to know" or "to have knowledge." And so it's just not a matter of putting it on display. He wants it understood. He wants it known. And so I don't get up to preach just to say a bunch of things just to throw it out there. I want you to know. I want you to hear. I want you to connect. I want you to make it applicable to your life. I want God's Word to change you forever. And so Paul in his prayer makes a significant plea. He wants to make known the mystery of the gospel. It's just not telling it. He wants people to hear it and connect with it and repent and believe. And of course, the main subject that, and his main concern is the subject of the mystery of the gospel. Now keep in mind, if you understand the King James translation, the word mystery here is not an enigma. We use the word mystery like, oh, it's a mystery, it's a plot, and we've got to try to figure this out. That's not the word that's found here. And Paul uses the word that it's that which was hidden has now been revealed. So he says the mystery of the gospel. Well, one time it was hidden, it was closed up, but now it's been revealed. Christ came into the world, and man, he's just preaching all over the place. And so Paul says, I want to make known, want everybody to hear and know the mystery of the gospel, that which has already been revealed in regard to the gospel. And of course, the word gospel here is the word euangelion, that means good news. Over in Colossians, he said the mystery of Christ. It all involves that, doesn't it? What is the good news? What is the gospel? Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that the gospel is that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And so we talk about the good news. So we preach to sinners and teach sinners and witness to sinners about the fact that they are sinners, lost and doomed and condemned. But yet Jesus Christ, the Savior, left heaven, came to earth, stepped into this world, lived a perfect life. How He was crucified as a sinner, though He never sinned. He was buried and He rose again the third day, and now He lives and He gives eternal life to all who believe. That is good news, isn't it? How that I can be forgiven of my sin through the provision of Jesus Christ and the blood which He shed. And I can witness to anyone and share that good news to them, that they can be saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. And Paul says, as he's in bonds, pray for me, that I might have the word, that I might have utterance, that I might have the power, and that I might continue to speak the mystery of Christ, to share the gospel. That's his significant plea, isn't it? Well, the last thing is this, if you look into verse 20, the first part of the verse, we note that he's the serving page. Now he makes this request. Why does he do so? He says, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak as I ought to speak. He says, I am an ambassador. Paul simply is a representative of Jesus Christ. And by the way, dear friend, I made reference to this in the introduction. If you're saved today, you are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. You are His representative, and I pray that you would represent Him well. So he says, I am an ambassador of this gospel. I represent Christ. Notice we find in the passage that He suffered. He for the cause of Christ, He was persecuted. So he says, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. Because He had preached, because He had taught, because He witnessed, because He dared to contend, He was imprisoned because of Christ's sake. But still, what does He want to do? You find in the last part of verse 20, He wants to fulfill His duty and be bold in His witness. So He says that therein I may speak boldly. Yes, that gospel that I'm in prison for, that I may continue to share it, may I continue to speak it as I ought to speak. Paul says, I want the freedom, I want the boldness, I need the power so that I may continue to do as God would have me to do. Isn't he just simply asking these people to pray for him that he might be able to declare? And so I say to you in closing, Paul's desire was a prayer to declare. What do we find? That he might have the words to say, that he might have the freedom and the boldness to say it, that he might say it in a manner which is understandable, and that he might declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul says, as you pray for everyone, pray for me to this end. Paul therefore asks, pray for me. Would you pray for me likewise? Would you pray for your pastor? Would you pray for your Sunday school teacher? Would you pray for the other church members? Even as I pray for you, and we pray for one another, would you likewise pray so that we would share the gospel of Jesus Christ. That we would speak as we ought to speak. That pray that we might have the right words and the boldness to do so. Don't you find you know what to say and yet the boldness is lacking? Peer pressure and circumstance can cause us to keep our mouth shut. Pray for me that I may share the gospel of Christ, that I might have the boldness, and may our witness just be simple, clear, and understandable. As we share, let us not try to impress people. Let us just make it clear. I mean, fastball right across the plate where they can see it and hit it. We want them to know you're a sinner, you're doomed, you're damned. Christ is the Savior. Repent and believe that you might have eternal life. Not everybody can understand that. Let us be clear and understandable. And I say in closing then that as you witness, be sure to go in prayer and go in power. And so as you go out, God, use me. Give me the words to say. Empower me. Help me to be what I need to be for your name's sake, that this word would come unto them and make a difference in their life forever. May God grant us grace that we might witness to testify. May we have a prayer to declare. I ask you to pray for me. Pray for your preacher. God, pray for Brother Doug. Pray specifically. He might have the words, might have the boldness, that he might speak it clearly. God, change lives through him. Change lives through her. Change lives through them. Let's pray one for another. A prayer to declare. Sinner, I know I didn't say much about the gospel, but the gospel is very clear. You need the Savior. I point you to Jesus today. Without him, you'll perish forever in hell. All you need the Lord. Would you consider it today? I'd like for us to stand. Brother Paul, would you please come? The invitation simply is this, right where you stand, as God speaks to your heart. You know, you might just make a commitment to the Lord. Lord, help me to be the witness I need to be. Give me power. Give me words. Give me people and opportunities. Open up the doors so that I might be a witness for you. May God grant his grace to rest upon us as we endeavor to serve him. And sinner, would you reflect upon your need of Christ? Father, we commit this time to you today. We honor you with it. We love you. And Lord, just hear our prayers that we might be used of you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, Brother Paul?